Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
We're just trying to have a conversation because the collective position of this show is I think we're tired. I think we're frustrated. I think we're trying to find answers. And me personally, I'm not sure we have one other than continue to move on. We applaud what happened yesterday. So we had the NBA guys, we had the WNBA, we had some of the Major League Baseball games, and we had soccer, mm-hmm. and then we had Naomi
Osaka.
She's shutting it down.
There and Evander Kane, he spoke out against the NHL's, lack of action as far as professional sports leagues doing something as a result of the what kind of started this, it kicked it off, the boycott of professional sports, was the Milwaukee Bucks, who did not come out for their playoff game against the Orlando Magic. They forfeited, and then the Magic did not accept the forfeit. They also, it just kind of snowballed into the rest of the games being postponed, and then other leagues and other athletes speaking out that they would not be playing.
So what's going to happen, Matt? What do you think? You think the NFL is going to follow suit, or you think they're going to say, well, now this is too important. We can't shut it down because the league is more important than what we're seeing in the streets. You think the NFL will take that perspective? Because that's what they did with Kaepernick. Yeah.
the NFL is not going to shut it down. But here's what I look for from the NFL. Here's your chance, Roger Goodell, who just came out with that lame interview. He wish he would have known or whatever he said.
He wish he would have listened to Colin Kaepernick 4 years ago, which yesterday was 4 years on the Knicks' first, protest of police brutality when he sat during the national anthem.
Which is eerie. Just think about that.
4 years to the day yesterday.
Yeah.
But they're not going to boycott, not in my opinion. But what I will say, I'm looking at the NFL. We've gone through all of this. We've gone through Colin Kaepernick. Now we've had an epiphany. Now we've done the video. Now other players have done videos and said we want more. We're going to do more. What are you going to actually do now? You've already admitted it. Now you get it. You understand it. You've said all these things. So now, because out of all these leagues, you have the most firepower. Yep. You have the ability to be able to do anything you want, no matter what. What are you going to do now?
Yep.
And I really don't believe. I don't believe. Jeb.
Well, no, Mac.
I don't. I'm telling you. I don't think they got it. Well, okay. Individual players, yes. But I just don't think as a whole, because they don't operate with the solidarity that the NBA does.
They do not.
Definitely the WNBA and others. I don't think as a whole you will be able to get them on the same page to say this matters.
You know what, Mac? I agree with you on that. I was just hoping maybe something it may be they may alter their plans and how they move forward with the season, but at the end of the day, you're probably right. They probably gonna maybe, because I'm gonna tell you, I heard a conversation with Jerry Jones, and we joked about Jerry Jones and come out of this grace mess. Man, he is still on this thing about my players gonna do what I tell them to do, and
that's right.
Back 400 years ago, So I'm really interested in what he will do. If even in the event they try to have some type of stoppage or not start the league up in a couple of weeks or so, I'm very interested to see what happens with that because
look at the last NFLPA vote. You could get players to vote for things that matter for themselves.
Right.
I mean, come on. Like this is to help you. They're fractured. They don't ever agree. You don't have to always agree, but this is not something you agree or disagree with. This is something you say. What do we all do to stop it? That's all.
Well, when you talk about sports impacting what's going on in the country or whatever, the NFL is the number one sport in this country. The NFL transcends races, economic, statuses, fantasy football, corporate, all across the board. The NFL if they want to make a serious like a moment in time, they should join the NBA as well in terms of a boycotting. But as K-Mac just mentioned, I don't think it's gonna happen. I don't think it's gonna happen.
I had a young guy ask me the other day. He says, you know, I wonder if it would be different if you just started just asking people, well, before you say anything about what just happened, anything about he had a gun, possibly knife, wasn't listening, whatever you want to say, before you say anything, put your father's or your brother's or your cousin's or your uncle's face on that individual before you say anything. Now tell me exactly how you feel about that again. He said 9 out of 10 would say, well, they didn't have to do all of that. Or maybe it should have been something else. Or, they need more training. It would be anything other than, yeah, but what did my uncle do? Yeah, what did my daddy do? He must have done something. You would never say that.
No. It's really, it's unfair. I can't even believe we're having this conversation, to be honest with you. I
said it, man. We started this show too many years. It is really starting to weigh heavy. In fact, year after year after year, we do this a couple of times a year. But first, it was once or twice a year. Reese, we've gotten it now. And Jack, you see it. We do this three, four times a year.
Yeah, I'm going into my third year, and we've had several of these mornings.
Yep.
Where we've had this weight on our hearts, and we've had to speak to all of the different things going on in this country that affect us in particular.
Just trying to, and then when people try to justify that's what tears me apart. You can't justify putting your knee on somebody's neck for that long. 8 minutes and 40 something. You can't justify shooting somebody in the back. Somebody in the back 7 times. As I said yesterday, you wanted to kill him. You wanted to kill him. That's no other excuse. And I'm going to say this then, Jazz, I'm going to let you set us up for the break. The thing that gets me is that, okay, Mac, I said it many times. You said, if it doesn't affect you directly, then you're really not interested in it. You may live in this scenario where that's them, that's not me, so it doesn't affect me, so I'm not really interested in making a change.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't see any white males getting shot in the back. Hell, we saw a white male run down the street with an AK-47, whatever it was.
AR-15.
AR-15, shooting people. Then went home, as James just said. That's crazy to me. Isn't that crazy? I mean, does that make sense?
It couldn't be more clear what the issue is. You know what I mean? Like, literally the difference between these people is how black people are treated and how white people are treated.
Yep. And if you don't think anything wrong, you don't think we have a problem with that, we being black people? Yeah, we have a problem with that.
Do you remember the outrage of Michael Vick? You remember that outrage?
Oh, my God. Oh!
About the dog.
Hey, Mac, we have said that was more outrage about him killing dogs than white people killing black people. It was more outrage about that.
I mean, I was just listening to, like, just in passing outrage. Just regular people out every other day, every day at the, you know, at the store. Completely outraged and appalled and dismayed. And something they have no real idea even what happened. Or how it happened or who did what.
Yep. I know, man.
From the basketball court at the University of Virginia to the classroom at UNC Chapel Hill, Dr. Deborah Strowman has it all covered. Now this professor and sports business entrepreneur is about to take you to school. It's time for Dishing It Up with Dr. Strowman and the Sports Shop on Buzz Sports Radio.
Morning, Dr. Strowman. Good morning.
Good morning, my friends. What a
good
day.
Good morning, right?
We doing?
So I'm sitting here thinking, how am I going to find some time to write an article? It just seems like things are happening so fast. But there is no doubt, once again, people are paying attention to the reality of blacks in America. And when we have a situation when blacks are so disturbed at all economic levels, then that means, because of our connection to brown people, Asians, Latinx, Latina, Native Americans, Indigenous, that we're all connected. And so three things are on my mind this morning. First, what if no one cares about a sports boycott? So what if sports stop? And so I'm really asking whether or not the business, as all those sponsors, all those people who've paid millions of dollars to have their product and service advertised, all the exposure that you get across this sports, how can they respond to a loss of revenue and exposure? What if no one really cares? How long will it last? Like, will we have to go not only this season, but next season and another season before these businesses say we have to have sports? But that's a question.
Well,
my second point is thinking about the players, in particular the NBA. They decided to strike. Some people are saying boycott. They decided to do this yesterday. So now they're in a position where they can't dial it back now. Mm-hmm. Because what change will actually happen between yesterday and the restart of games? What can the system do to make athletes feel that change is actually happening? Well, you can't write another statement or hold up another Black Lives Matter t-shirt. People are tired of the talk and empty statements. I don't think there's anything that can happen that will change their thought process as in we need to shut it down. So I'd be very, very surprised if, at least for the NBA, if they come back.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is who else will step up? You know, we seem to be waiting on millionaire black men to use their voice. And there's no doubt that LeBron and Chris Paul made this happen. No doubt. But what about the other systems? This isn't just black men playing sports. And we have black women playing sports who are affected by this. So I started looking up our black billionaires. Officially, according to one report, we have six of them. Jay-Z, at the lower end, $1 billion net worth, to Kanye, to Michael Jordan, to Oprah. And you might not know about the top two. David Stewart, $3.5 billion in net worth. He owns an IT conglomerate called Worldwide Technology. And we have heard of Robert Smith. He is the richest black person in our country, $5 billion of net worth in private equity. Will these people step up? What are they going to strike or boycott? Because we shouldn't just have to say it's the sports folks that have to do it.
Right.
And then what is our responsibility, of course? The common man, what will we do? Common people, what will we do? So I'll pause there before I hit up another area, but those are my thoughts.
Well, let me address, again, we talked about Deborah Strowman, this is Deborah D. Strowman, each and every Thursday, same place, same time. And I have to be honest, I was looking forward to this conversation, Dr. Strowman, because I know you will have some things for us. Let me address our question number one about does anybody care? You know, my initial reaction was, not so much the vast majority of the people as it relates to the NBA. I feel that. But if the next It's the most popular sport in this country, the NFL. If they shut it down, then we got a real problem. They gonna care about that. They gonna really care about that. Sundays. That's why people are working so hard to make sure that it happens, even in the midst of this pandemic going on. Hey, I mean, matter of fact, some NFL teams act like that's not a pandemic.
That's right.
If you watch NFL Network and ESPN, they're going live to practices. And not one mention of coronavirus. Not one. So they're going to make sure it happens. But if they shut it down regarding protesting or boycotting or whatever, or striking or whatever you want to put on it, it would catch people's attention like we never seen before. Truly, I believe that. So I'm just addressing question number one, and the other guys can chime in on other questions.
Yeah, I think that, I know you said, what if they don't care? I think that people will care. Decision makers will care if sports starts to shut down. But I do agree that the other areas, entertainment in particular, the black leaders of those industries will have to step up and I guess make the same or a similar sort of, you know, boycott, strike, you know, in an effort to not only call attention, but to actually make change, like put the pressure on people that can make decisions to reform police departments across the country.
Yeah, Dr. Strowman, I was sitting here thinking about your questions. I have to say, immediately, nothing's going to change. Not immediately. But what has changed and what continues to change is our ability to speak up and speak out. Our willingness to say we will go farther and farther and farther until we achieve justice. That is what has changed. I'm not looking for some silver bullet tomorrow that says, okay, all of a sudden now all police officers have to have some type of certification before they can put on a firearm again or whatever. Maybe, but that's not going to happen tomorrow. But as long as people know, we're going to continue to demand more and more and more until something changes that will start them thinking, well, what can I do to change it? Because that's the only way it's going to change. You got to get them thinking that you have to get those individuals thinking, what can I do to change this? So we can put a stop to them continuing to ramp up whatever the protests are, whatever the boycotts are, because there's no need to stop. You just go back to the 60s, just go back to Rosa Parks, the bus boycotts, and all. They've done things before they even got to the bus boycott. But they just kept having, you just kept having to go to the next level, just keep going until they decide, all right, let me figure out what I can do to put an end to whatever this is. That's my personal take on it.
Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. I think about, what is it that brown and black people want? What is so hurtful that makes you want to stop doing your job, asking other people to stop doing their job? And so the pain of watching people being murdered when there seems to be an alternative. You know, obviously we don't know all the details on Mr. Blake and how that ramped up, but for the police officers to follow him to his car so closely with guns drawn, I just think there has to be some type of failure in policing right there.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly this seems to be a call towards, we need to do something about our police.
Yep.
And so right now there are many movements, and I want to take the moment to talk about defunding the police versus abolition. And so defunding the police means that, and again, this is a generalization, because we have lots of spinoffs. People who are for defunding the police believe that police are necessary in the case of true violence and extreme emergencies, whereas abolitionists believe that police aren't necessary. and we have to go for alternative interventions, even for violent crimes. And abolitionists go all the way back in history, which is important. Always you need to go back through history to understand how we got situated today, that it is in itself an inherently racist institution. It started as slave patrols, plantation yep. owners, farmers, businessmen, white men needed labor. And that labor was kidnapped and enslaved Africans. And when the 13th Amendment happened in December of 1865, your labor walks away, they're free. So as a white man, how are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to take care of your family? And so all across this nation, primarily in the South, black codes were devised. Just crazy laws. And not only adults, but also children were rounded up and arrested. Anything from walking too closely to a railroad track, which would make a lot of sense because you want to get out of there, to having something in your hand that resembles a weapon. It could be a stick you just picked up, or I should say a twig. Reckless eyeballing. All these crazy laws were created, and they would just round up people, put them in jail, and then that plantation owner, that businessman, that farmer could go back to the jail and rent out that same black person who was a slave a week ago.
Right. Right.
And who was rounding them up? Former Confederate men. As in those who worked in the army, who served in the army. And so this history of rounding people up appears to be in the fabric of today's police forces. It's not to protect and serve, but it's to round people up. And then when you add the prison industrial complex, as in this has been documented research, whether it's the judges, whether it's business people, they need bodies to fill these prisons. Communities have been revitalized because they got a prison now. They need bodies. It's been documented from Ferguson and the ticketing to many judges, sadly I say that, who've been yes. on the take receiving money absolutely. To lock brown and black people up so that they can get paid under the table. And so that spirit for many, many people, white, brown, and black, believe that our police system or criminal justice, which is a mixture of, which is the three strands, right? Criminal justice is police, it's the judiciary, and it's the prisons and jails.
Sure.
And they're all working together to harm people, many innocent people. And so the black feminist Angela Davis says that it's very difficult for us to envision a social order that does not rely on the threat of sequestering people in dreadful places. It's hard for us to imagine this. I believe it's possible that we can have centers, we can have institutions, we can have people working together in communities that reduce violence. And there have been studies, there have been reports from a number of cities have put out successful pilot programs using violence interruption and not having police do things that have nothing to do with true policing. They're more like public health problems, but yet we have police responding to it. And so that's my take. I think we all need to do a deeper dive and not just put up barriers and say, oh, we all need police. We need to be very creative and think about what we can all believe in. And there is a website that I continue to read and learn from. It's called 8 to Abolition, the number 8, 8toabolition.com. Read that and think about it with an open mind, because what we have right now is not working.
No. No, it's not. No, it's not. Not even close.
Very informative.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
Dr. Stroman, you did it again. You always leave us with something, you know, so that we're better off after hearing your segment than we were coming into it.
Yeah, so that's a very good point right there.
But I was trying to get
I appreciate that. Go ahead, K-Mac. I'm sorry.
prior to the segment. So, Eighth Abolition, I was just trying to get caught up on. I was trying to read it real quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is the type of, again, some people say it's the third Reconstruction, right? We had the Reconstruction following the Civil War. You know, let's all be one happy family in America. And clearly that didn't go too well because we ended up with legal segregation where blacks weren't able to go to the libraries, movies, restaurants, housing, all of that. And then we had another Reconstruction, civil rights, right? 50s and 60s. Let's get it right. And we ended up with race neutral laws to address race based problems. Yeah, that's right. It didn't work. The biggest example was Brown versus Board. We're going to integrate. Mm-hmm. We're going to desegregate. We're more segregated than we've ever been in the history of our country. So maybe this is the third Reconstruction, where we're again trying to find solutions to living together. Mm. I'll close with this. I'm very hopeful that one day we can see one another as family. And what do I mean by that? The Human Genome Project, $2.7 billion research over a 13-year period from researchers from all over the world who said that we are 99.98% alike. 99.98% alike. In fact, there's more differences in a flock of penguins or fruit flies than there are in this human body, Homo sapiens. We're not first cousins. We're not second cousins. We're like somewhere between 45th and 50th degree cousins. And so with that being said, if we could see each other as family, right? We all started in Africa and then we migrated out. And due to weather conditions, due to being closer to the equator and the sun, our skin was darkened, our noses were widened, our lips became thicker because of the conditions. But we're all brothers and sisters. And I know for some people listening in, that might be a hard pill to swallow, but if we could just focus on humanity. So this isn't a black problem. This isn't a brown problem. This isn't a white problem. This is for humankind. We've got to do better.
Yeah. We're going to leave it right there. Yesterday was an unbelievable day. Today, that this moment we just shared with Dr. Strowman was unbelievable. Something we will remember going forward. Dr. Strowman, thank you so much.
Thank you. Stay encouraged. Stay safe.
Thank you so much. We normally talk a lot of sports, but now today we're talking about life. We're talking about things that that are challenging our ability to just even to live and be happy in this country, so we can enjoy things like sports. Some guys to entertain us, sports wise, decided that they didn't want to do that last night, guys and girls, or men and women, if you will, and decided not to play. And thank them for that. I think it caught the attention of a lot of people. We were talking about the NBA down in the bubble, three games canceled. We're talking about the WNBA, three games canceled, down in Bradenton, Florida. I think that's where they're located at. And, of course, three baseball games, several soccer games, and a tennis match by Naomi Osaka. Today. And there'll be other things coming. We're just trying to have this healthy conversation, 919-890-6200, about where we are. Pandemic, George Floyd, I mean, Jacob Blake, Breonna Taylor, and if we start listing names, we have no time to get. We'll probably go past our segment because there's so many people. What do? We in an election year in the 60 some days. We got a hurricane going down. I mean, disaffecting havoc in the south western part of the country, somewhere between Texas and Louisiana. So we want to have this conversation. So, again, guys, I think we're all affected by this, and we in our own kind of way, and we're trying to walk through it. I think possibly NFL may shut it down. K-Matt doesn't think so, but he's probably right. Jazz, where are you on the NFL? I don't think I got some comments for you on the NFL.
Yeah.
Where are you on the
NFL? You know, I'm really unsure about what's going to happen on the NFL side of things. I agree with K-Mac on you know, the NFL. They're not going to – the NFL, like the – I guess the system, the league itself would not push for the suspension or canceling of the season. I think that would have to come from the players. As you saw with the Detroit Lions, how they canceled practice and used that time to send their message to America about police brutality and it being enough, like enough is enough. I think it would have to be an effort by the players, because at the root of it, you can't have a game without the players. So if there is no NFL season, or if it's postponed, or if it's altered in any way aside from what was planned due to the COVID-19 pandemic, it would have to come from the players.
Mm. Okay. Yep. Hmm. And the question is, guys, are the players ready to step up and make that sacrifice? Do they feel empowered enough to do that, given what's going on in this country with people? Black men, I'm stopping, not even trying to kind of gloss over it. Black men being killed unfairly. Yeah, I'm not even sure it's fair to kill anybody, but black men being killed.
By the police.
That's exactly right. Is that enough to empower the NFL guys to say, you know what? We're going to shut it down too.
Yeah, it's really difficult when you talk about players, because immediately we think about the millions that they make and the bigger names. But this is a very serious conversation and internal conversation that some of the players are going to have with themselves, and even include their families, because it affects them as well.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody makes the money or has the excess of money that we think they have playing professional sports. Even on the NBA side, and this is something that Chuck and Shaq and Ernie touched on after Kenny left the set, was that this boycott, or even I'm not 100% sure if it happened while Kenny was on set, but anyways, they talked about some of the players out there are, first off, they were invited to the bubble because there were some of their players on rosters that didn't come. So they don't have an ongoing contract or a big contract. They need the money, just like, you know, regular Americans need money to survive. So while we think of the professional athlete in the sense of they have all the money and they can make the decision to boycott or strike, it's not really that clear. It's not that black and white. So it will be a tough decision that some of the athletes are going to have to make.
Hmm. Wow. That's interesting.
I like the abruptness of it. I like the
same here.
Intentional messaging.
It caught my attention. Yes.
Right. But to say just now we're just going to boycott for the rest of the season, and I'm not so sure that's going to achieve anything other than what we achieved yesterday and today. To continue on and just not play again. I don't know unless there are going to be some type of, you know, other events and other things that you're going to do. But I think what happened last night and, you know, in the aftermath of today, I think that's about as much as you can get out of this boycott right now.
I disagree.
Really?
I disagree.
Totally disagree with that. Yeah.
I think we are completely glossing over the fact that there are some very immediate things that can take place. And it can start with the, you know, charging of the officers that were involved in the killing of Breonna Taylor and the shooting of Jacob Blake. Those things can happen very quickly. I think what you mean is that in the next day or so, no, the issue of police brutality will not be solved. Racial equality will still need to be fought for and fought even harder. But there are things that can happen in the coming days as a result of the cancellation of a season or a postponement of a season. If when we hear from the players that they say, we will resume playing the NBA season and even start the next one, if under, you know, and they list their conditions, whether it be, you know, the arresting and charging of the officers in many different cases, that's a possibility. They can say, this is our condition. We will play once our demands have been met.
Yeah. And prior to even walking out yesterday, they had some conversations with the lieutenant governor of Wisconsin and the governor regarding those exact points you made. Here are the things we're looking for. And until these things are resolved, then we don't think we want to play. And I shared with you guys, I'm trying to get the lieutenant governor on the next couple of days to talk to us, Mandela Barnes, lieutenant governor of Wisconsin. But they had ongoing, the Bucks had ongoing conversations with him and the governor prior to even making this decision. So there's some clear things that they're looking for, K-Mac. So I totally disagree that you said the only impact is going to be what happened yesterday, nothing beyond that. No, I totally disagree with that.
I didn't say the only impact. I said the most significant impact, which is being
what happened yesterday.
Yeah. So anything, unless there's, you know, and maybe there is a plan, maybe there are other things, but I think in the days to come, if they don't play again another game this season, it will take a significant amount of time, depending on what the requirement, what they're asking for. If they're asking for, like what Jasmine mentioned, or what you just mentioned, some other things, that's a possibility. But I think the value and the impact that by the abruptness of it yesterday, I think that was your maximum effect. Doesn't mean that's all you can do, but I think that was the maximum effect.
I think I kind of see what you're saying as far as we will never reach that level of abruptness and shock when it comes to the season or sports. And I get that. I guess I do agree in some ways that because it was so abrupt and a shock, it grabbed our attention to the height that it could. And we may not see that. I don't think that we won't see something afterwards.
Though. No, I think I think game day one, start the NFL season, opening weekend, and the players don't come out of the locker room. Everybody's geared up. Everybody, you know, you got the networks out there, and they're saying they're not playing. That would be as impactful, that moment, as the NBA was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I do kind of want.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Well, no, I'm changing the subject a bit. So
okay. Just one of the play one. Play, no, they open up Thursday night or something, then Sunday comes around, everybody getting them for all the games to come up, and all of a sudden, it's a boycott or strike or whatever. Shut it down. That'll be impactful too. Get people kind of appetite there. They said, no, we're not entertaining you no more.
Yep.
Anyway, yep. I think that would people like, oh, we got a real problem. Now we had a real problem.
I think if you go. Yeah, but I think if you go, right, so just to give you another example, you say, I like this too, by the way, the lieutenant governor said, well, it's going to take us a little time. How long? Well, I mean, we won't know anything until, you know, middle of September. All right, we'll play in middle of September. If we don't hear anything by May, September 14th, we're stopping again.
Yep, and they stopped.
That level of scrutiny, in that level of scrutiny, I can assure you, will have a maximum effect. But if you just said, we won't play until you give us an answer, by the time, if it took till October 1st, by the time you got to October 1st, people just, oh yeah, the NBA is not playing because, you know, they're waiting on this. But if you said, we'll play, because you said, what did you say? September 15th? All right. September 14th at 12:59, 11:59, you don't have an answer? You already know what's happening on September 15th, so don't even ask.
We told you already. We already told you. We're serious about this.
That level of scrutiny, I think, will have an impact.
And that call it empowerment. That's called initiative. That's called that you're not gonna run, treat us like we're a bunch of, you know, whatever on a plantation. We're in charge of our own destiny. Whether we choose to play, that's our choice. And we don't choose to play because we don't like what's going on in this country. Now the other thing that I think would be helpful, and we saw some of this, it's gonna require the ownership of these teams to bat these players, particularly the NBA. But then that's what, and the NFL too, which I don't think is going to happen in the NFL. I don't think this is going to happen in the NFL. But definitely NBA, it's going to require those owners which we saw the Bucks has had the support of their owner. Mark Cuban came out and said something he thought was a great idea. So we'll see where all this flies in terms of going forward. Jasmine, you're going to kind of flip the script a little bit, change the subject. What else?
Yeah, well, we were talking about how abrupt the decision on the NBA side of things, because that's obviously where this thing kicked off. We're discussing how abrupt it was. And sources tell Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that some in the players' meeting last night started at 8 p.m. They wanted to know, or I guess hear the explanation as to why the Bucks team did not, I guess, include or make everyone else aware of it. Or made, you know, just a independent decision. Now, while some players like Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics say that they didn't need to explain themselves and he fully supports them, there's some questions that, you know, other players have. And basically the conversation, should the Bucks have included or at least told anyone else, any other team, and maybe even specifically the Orlando Magic, what their plan was, would it have been less effective had they done so?
Interesting.
I think they're completely fine with being abrupt, and this was a team decision. I'm completely fine that they didn't share it with anyone else.
But so, okay, just to make sure I understand. So, I guess the concern or issue, not I don't want to say issue, just the thought process was, did they tell their opponent who was a part of the same league, we're gonna boycott, just to let you know.
Essentially, that's what, well, basically, some of the players wanted to hear the explanation for making such an abrupt decision by themselves and not including other teams in the NBA.
Okay. I mean,
You know what?
Is there a benefit, and this is hindsight, could there have been a benefit to sharing that information, or would it have lessened the impact had they shared it to the other teams? And granted, this decision was made right before the game. The players were there. It wasn't like they didn't show up to the arena. They were there. They were stretching, and they were, you know, training, getting ready for the game. So this happened very quickly. And so that's why I'm pointing out specifically the team that they were going to play, the Orlando Magic.
I applaud them for saying, this is our decision. You guys do what you feel is best for you.
Yeah.
This is our decision. This is how we feel collectively. I would encourage you to go back and look and find out what you would like to do. This is what we did, right? If you want to do something different, go ahead. Now, you're saying, well, by doing that, now you're hurting. Now you're forcing another team that doesn't agree with you to suffer just like you're not suffering, but to boycott just sacrifice. Like you're boycotting because to sacrifice because we can't. If there's no one to play, we don't play. So in that respect, I think they probably could have said, hey, this is what we're planning on doing. Just letting you guys know we're not going to come out, you know, because they're facing that team. Now, the other teams and other games that were being played, it didn't have to have any impact on those games.
Right.
Just a team. You forced another team to sacrifice with you. I get that point. You forced another team to sacrifice with you.
They could have accepted the forfeit and took the win. Right.
Yep, they could have. Right, you're
and
right.
And they didn't.
That's true.
There could have been backlash for them accepting the Orlando Magic for accepting, you know, the forfeit.
Man, very good point.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
But they didn't, and it's that seems almost in alliance with the cause and supporting their decision to not play.
Sure, which I love that. I mean, the NBA today together. They only and Rodney, we did get you a text, and he brought up a good point. I thought about this too. The perfect storm would have been, if that is a perfect storm in this scenario, where it would have been a regular, it wouldn't have been a pandemic, which means fans in the stands, which means the all the money associated with that. That's a perfect storm, and they pull this off, and they boycott, and they strike. That's a perfect storm. It lessens the blow a little bit because there's no fan interaction in terms of physically being there, no gate receipts, no jobs affected because they shutting it down. That would have been a perfect storm. But, you know, we got what we got. And I applaud the players, and we'll see where this goes.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.